be a hearer. You've got to hear this word. But once you've heard it, commit to be a doer of it. Through the words you speak, being defined by what you believe.
What you hear and ultimately what you speak will set the boundaries for your life. Join Jeremy Pearsons today as he brings a message on hearing and confessing God's Word. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I'm your host all this week. And I'm once again grateful to be with you and thankful to my grandparents, Kenneth and Glory Copeland, for allowing me to be here today and all last week and all this week. And what an honor it is to be a part of this family. What a thrill it is to be a part of this ministry. And what a thrill it is to be in your home and office and car and as you run and walk or wherever you are watching and listening to this broadcast today. It's just an honor to be with you. And I can't get over the gratitude that I've been sensing even over these last couple of years, and just sitting right here, thankful to the Lord. You know, there's just to be a part of this family, to be a part of this ministry has been a highlight all my life. And I'm thankful to not only my grandparents, but my parents as well, George and Terry Pearsons. And speaking of Terry Pearsons, I would like to say happy birthday, Mama. I won't say how old because I value my life and I love you very much, but happy birthday to you. This is a busy week in the Pearsons family. Yesterday was my sister Aubrey's birthday. Today is my mom's birthday. Tomorrow is my mom and dad's anniversary. This is a busy time for us, but it's a great week of celebration. So I'm glad you all are a part of this as well. Let's pray today once again. Get right back into the Word of God. Father, we thank you today for everything you've done, everything you've said. We thank you for the completed work of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the things that we're walking in, the light of revelation that you've already given us, the things you've already shown us. And Lord, we are eager and hungry to grow and walk in more. We give you praise and glory for every good thing that comes from these broadcasts this week. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We began yesterday by picking up with where we left off last week. You know, we spent a week determining and deciding who we are, being defined by the Word of God. And yes, there is an application to faith. Yes, there is something we can say, something we can do. But what we say and what we do is designed to come as a result of first who we are. Doing comes from being. And they can't be separated. And what I want to do today is briefly recap where we left off yesterday. We're looking, turn with me in your Bibles, grab your Bibles if you can, and go back to Mark chapter 5. Open to two places, if you will, Mark chapter 5 and Romans chapter 10. Looking at the life and ministry of Jesus and looking at those who came to Jesus with a need and got what they came for. Left with the need met. Now, I look at these examples. I look at the life and ministry of Jesus. And for those who would say the Bible is not relevant to us today, those who would say this is just a historical book, I'm telling you this is relevant. This is real. It's so relevant it will save your life. That's how relevant this book is. And I want to look at these examples in the life and ministry of Jesus of those who came to him and left with what they came for. Faith had to be present. Faith must have been on the scene. Faith is our connection to the Father. Faith is our connection to Jesus. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We are children of God by faith. We are redeemed by faith, justified by faith, made righteous by faith. Amen? It is our faith that overcomes the world. We fight the good fight of faith. This is the word of faith that we preach. I mean, this is so real to us. The challenge is not to open the Word and find it. The challenge is to stop finding it. The challenge is to find a page on the Word where it's not present. So when we look at these examples in the life and ministry of Jesus, I'm looking for where faith was on the scene because of Jairus in Mark chapter 5 got what he came for, then faith must have been on the scene. If this woman with the issue of blood got what she came for, then faith must have been on the scene. Number one, what had to happen in their lives for faith to be present? What had to happen in their lives for them to come to Jesus and get the result they were looking for? Number one, we established yesterday, they had to hear. Now, it was different for them than it is for us, only in the regard that they didn't have a leather-bound book with Scripture in it. They were there when Jesus was there. Verse 24 of Mark chapter 5 says, Jesus went with him. And I know a lot of people want to use that as an excuse. If Jesus was just here, if Jesus came to my house. But Jesus said a couple of things regarding this. He said, first of all, before he left this earth to his disciples, he said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Now, folks, always means always. And just because you can't see it does not mean he's not there. Always means always. Jesus is with you. Let that comfort your heart. Let that just be a comfort. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you with that. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, he said to these disciples, it's better for you if I go away. And if he said it to them, then he's saying it to us. It is to our advantage that Jesus is not here in the flesh, but we have the Holy Spirit who takes of what is Jesus. He takes the words that Jesus speaks and speaks them to us. This is good news for us. But they had to hear about him. And even it's specific to us in verse 27 of Mark chapter 5. It says, when she heard about Jesus. This woman heard that Jesus was in town. She heard the good news. She heard the good works. She heard that other people had been healed. She heard that blind eyes had been opened, that people had been set free, that they had been loosed from the oppression of Satan. She heard about it. And according to Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, faith comes when you hear. If you back up to verse 14, how can you call on him in whom you haven't believed? You see how this goes back to who you first are? Who you believe, that is who you are. What you believe, that is who you are. And how can you call on a God that you don't believe in? First, you must believe. How can you believe on him you haven't heard? After you believe, then you hear. Hearing produces that believing in you. And when you hear, when these people heard, it caused them to believe. Verse 17, faith comes when you hear. Faith comes when you hear, and you hear by the word of God. You look in the old manuscripts in the Greek, it says when you hear the word concerning Jesus Christ. When you hear the word about Christ. These people heard about Jesus. We should be hearing about Jesus all the time. You may be saying, well, I work in a secular environment. I work where they don't talk about Jesus. Okay, well, come home. Come home and watch this broadcast. Get in a good church. And if nothing else, talk to yourself out loud about Jesus. Talk to your children about Jesus. Talk to your family about Jesus. We should be talking about him all the time. We should be sitting with children saying, let me tell you about the goodness of Jesus. Let me tell you about the life he lived. Let me tell you about the death he died. Let me tell you about his resurrection. Let me tell you that now he lives to make intercession for you. He sits at the right hand of the Father, always talking about Jesus. What happens when we talk about Jesus? Faith comes. Jairus left with what he came for. This woman with the issue of blood left with what she came for. And it all began with what they heard. They heard about Jesus. This didn't have to do with a certain amount of Scripture. Don't talk yourself into, well, I haven't heard enough yet. I haven't heard enough yet. Listen, if you've heard, then faith is present. And the only thing left to do is continue to build on what you've heard. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5 and notice what happened, excuse me, after they heard. Once again, we're looking at the application of faith. When they heard, they believed. What happened as a result of believing? What happened as a result of hearing about Jesus? Mark chapter 5, let's go back to where we began. Verse 21, Jesus had come back to the other side. There was a great crowd that gathered to him. Verse 22, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. Make note of that. We're going to talk about that later this week. Verse 23, he begged him earnestly, saying, he did what? He said something. What did he say? My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed. She will live. Now, if Jairus got what he came for, if you know the end of the story and you know that his daughter got up from that deathbed alive and well, then I want to look at his life and I want to see what happened that so motivated Jesus. I want to pinpoint what happened in his life that caused verse 24. According to this scripture, we have no record of Jesus saying anything. There was no turning to the disciples and saying, boys, do we have time to go? Where are we supposed to be right now? All we know is Jairus heard something, and as a result of what he heard, he came to Jesus and he said, you come, you lay your hands, she will live. Verse 24, Jesus went with him. Jesus is not moved by our need. Jesus is not moved by our want to. Jesus is moved by our faith. Scripture says he was moved with compassion. Moved from one place to another. He got off this boat and was headed this way. Jairus said, lay your hands on her, she will live. And Jesus was moved this way. He is moved by your faith. Jairus heard and he spoke. He heard and he spoke. What did the woman with this issue of blood do? Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, she heard, she said, she heard it, she spoke it. Now, I realize there's a lot of disagreement with this message about speaking, but listen, if the Bible said something different than this, I'd be preaching that to you. I promise you, if it said something other than if it had something other than to do with what you said, I'd be talking about that. But it doesn't. It says she heard it and she said, notice what she said. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She heard it. She said it. She heard it and she said it. Turn to Mark just a few pages over to chapter 11. Hopefully you've got something underlined here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, I'm not preaching Kenneth Copeland's doctrine. I'm not preaching Kenneth Hagin's doctrine. I'm preaching what Jesus said. Okay. Again, let me say this. If Jesus had said anything other than this, if Jesus had said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever throws a rock at this mountain, I would be telling you, I'd be sitting right here saying, go get the biggest rock you can find and throw it at the mountain. But he didn't say that. He didn't. He said, whoever says to this mountain. If Jesus had said, whoever climbs this mountain, whoever's really angry at this mountain, I'd be saying any of that to you. If Jesus said it, I'd preach it. If Jesus said it, I'd say it. But this is what he said. And that is the only reason I'm saying this to you. He said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Be defined by what you believe. You are a believer. It's who you are and it's what you do. And I want you to see and notice here what comes as a result of believing. Speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13 says, we believed, therefore we speak. Speaking comes only as a result of believing. And once again, if Scripture had said, we believed, therefore we stomped our feet, I would say to you, stomp those feet. But it doesn't. It says, we speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that's a silly example, and I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but sometimes we've got to come back and come to grips with what the Word of God says. I'm not preaching anything other. I'm just reading Scripture to you, okay? What comes as a result of believing? When you hear, you believe. And when that believing is stirred in you, it gets so big, it gets so loud, it gets so bold that you just begin to speak. And Jesus says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If this message just gets you angry and you get upset with people who preach about speaking to mountains, you get upset with people who preach about having what you say, then get upset with Jesus because he said it. And I'll tell you something right now. In my life in ministry, young as it is, I don't believe something just because Kenneth Copeland says it. I don't believe something just because George and Terry Pearson says it. Now, I know them and I trust them, but Kenneth Copeland wouldn't have it that way. He would not sit me down and say, now, Jeremy, don't worry about what this says. I'm going to tell you something. No, I've heard him say it over and over and over. He said, don't believe it because I say it. You believe it because the Word says it. And if I'm missing it, I ask the Lord all the time, Father, correct me, direct me, instruct me. And it just doesn't get more plain than this. Jesus said, speak. When you believe, speak. Let it come out of what you believe. Let me take you back to the salvation experience. We all believe this. Whether you think you believe this or not, let me tell you something. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you believe this. Because in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, we've looked at it several times already in our study. But you go back to that. How does salvation come in our lives? How does this new birth, how does that happen? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the miracle of salvation? Then go back and look at how it happened. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Now we believe that and we instruct people in that and we lead people in that. There are churches and ministries that are seeing people born again by the thousands and tens of thousands, and everybody can get on board with that. But why does it stop there? Why would we think that it would stop there? Why would we think that how we're born again should be any different than the way we live our lives? That salvation experience, there are people that can tell you when and where and what time. 1962 in a little church in the hills of this state. I mean, there are people that can pinpoint it where they believed in their heart and they confessed with their mouth. But you know what? What about the end of August 2008? What is supposed to get me through this month? You want to know what it is? Believing with my heart, confessing with my mouth. Folks, we have got to put a higher premium on the words we speak. The words we speak are nothing more than a demonstration of what we believe. What you say is proof of who you are. If you are a man or a woman, if you are a person of faith, do you want to know how that's reflected? It's reflected in the words you speak. And once again, if the Bible had anything other to say about this, If it said something other than placing a premium on these words, then that's what we would be preaching. But it doesn't. There is instruction here about what we say. What you say is a demonstration of what you believe. Now, when you go and you hear some outstanding message. You hear a message like this one. Hopefully you think this is outstanding. And you hear something like this, and you hear a preacher talk about the words of your mouth and your confession, and you go home and you try to do that, and you try to do that, and you do it 3, 4, 5 times, and you look around and nothing's happened. That's not what I'm talking to you about. What you're trying to do with that is you're trying to separate this revelation of speak to the mountain from the one who revealed it. But you cannot successfully separate the revelation from the revealer. When you speak to a mountain, what needs to be happening on the inside of you is there has got to be this vivid picture of I am doing this because Jesus, number one, did this, and because, number two, Jesus told me to do this. That's why I speak the way I do. That's why I watch my words. I believe, therefore I speak. See how these words are nothing more than the living demonstration of who you are? Do you see how these words are? This message is designed to be nothing other than beginning at this root of who you are and what you believe and being defined by what you believe and reflected in the things that you say. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Doubt is the enemy of belief. Don't be defined by your doubt. If you're a doubter, then it'll come out in your words. If you're a believer, it'll come out in what you say. Be so watchful over the things you say. You can release life and you can release death. Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you might be sitting there saying, how many times do I have to hear this message? How many times do I have to hear somebody on this broadcast talk to me about what I speak? I don't know. Because it's not always about how many times you've heard it. It's not always about thinking you've heard this enough. James tells us to not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. He says, if any man is a hearer of the word only, then he's like the man who looks in the mirror, walks away, and forgets what he saw. Be a hearer. You've got to hear this word. But once you've heard it, commit to be a doer of it through the words you speak, being defined by what you believe. Praise God. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
Does God have a plan for me?
What am I supposed to do with my life?
Now what do I do?
What are your life questions? Discover God's plan for your life and stay on course with it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries introduces Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal. An exciting new curriculum that will help you discover step-by-step God's plan for your life, based on the New York Times best-selling book, God's Master Plan for Your Life by Gloria Copeland. This personal, in-depth Bible study includes a 5-disc DVD video teaching with Gloria, a 5-CD set of the entire teaching, and a one-of-a-kind interactive workbook and journal. Learn practical ways to apply biblical truths that bring answers to your life questions. Connect with God's plan for your life in a deeper way and make your destiny a reality. Order Gloria Copeland's new video curriculum at a special price of $49.95, a 40% savings for the entire curriculum package. Visit kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life. Video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal. A comprehensive study tool will take you into a total immersion experience in God's Word. Order your personal set today.
I want to read this to you once again out of the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now for the life of any believer, this is an everyday experience. But for some folks, it has to take place for the first time. Everybody has to do this for the first time. And if you've never prayed that prayer, if you're listening to this and you say, you know, I've never believed with my heart, I never confessed with my mouth Jesus as the Lord of my life, then let me pray with you right now. Say this after me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sin. I confess before you and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Make me clean and make me new. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe I'm born again. I believe I'm brand new. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, we want to know about it. We want to hear about it. Write us and let us know. Get online, let us know. Call this ministry and let us know. And when you do, my grandparents want to send you these 5 books and brochure on how to study your Bible. This is great just to plug in right away. What do you do next? You do this, all right? Get plugged into it. And beyond that, that salvation experience is for every day of your life. Get in the Word. Read your Bible. Get in a church that will preach the Word to you. And you know what you need to do right after that is you need to get on board with what Gloria's been preaching about connecting with the master plan of God for your life. I mean, what can be left out of that? If you know the plan, the only thing left to do is live the plan. And there's nothing but good things for you in that plan. Praise God. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you once again that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.
Make your plans now for Jerry Savelle Ministries' 2008 Thunder Over Texas Motorcycle Rally. All the excitement is happening Labor Day weekend, August 29th through the 31st. Bring the whole family out to historic Town Square in Granbury, Texas for the largest Christian bike rally in America. Enjoy 3 days of great food, live music, and powerful teaching by Jerry Savelle.
God wants you to be a winner. He wants you to triumph always. When I see the word always, that tells me that it's not the will of God that I win a few, lose a few, but He wants me to win every time.
Kenneth Copeland.
What if you thought and spoke the word all the time? Well, Jesus did. Why can't we? Think about what that's going to do to your future.
And Jesse DePlantis.
Jesus set me free, and whom the Son is set free is free indeed.
For more information, log on to jerrysavelle.org.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
There's no room for pride in the life of faith. Your humility is directly connected to your healing.